Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, I'm Coach Kelly.
Wow. You know what? We can no longer say this is week number, even though it is week number five, because we have a respectable show now.
I agree.
We have been on so that we don't have to keep counting. What do you think?
I was just thinking, I'm like, I don't even remember what number we're on.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I think we're just fully in the swing of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, before that we started here today, Kelly, you were telling me you've had quite the
week. Oh, it's been horrible.
Please do share.
Okay, sure.
Let all of our listeners be empathetic toward you.
Yes. Oh, so first of all, my husband potentially broke his foot. We don't know. He's still waiting on a doctor's appointment, playing football, and really, really was immobile. Couldn't do anything. So I had my two crazy kids running around and my husband watching football on TV. He probably faked it, to be honest.
Maybe did he want the nine-hour shift on the couch?
Exactly. He was loving it. Yeah, he might just damage it the next one on purpose. So that was the first thing. And then today...
You know if he's listening, he's going to be really mad at you later
on.
What are you saying? I'm faking it.
Well, we'll see. Why is the doctor's appointment being put off?
We don't know.
I don't know. And then my son has to get a cavity filled today.
Poor little guy.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's in for. So
he's five.
He's five, which is so funny because I remember when I was little, I don't even remember them checking for cavities because I think it was like if the baby teeth fell out, that was it. But now, I don't know. Maybe they're more concerned that it's going to seep through if it's deep enough to the adult teeth. I don't know, but I'm just going to trust the dentist on this one. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, poor little guy.
But I have a gift. I have a gift already, and Hanukkah's tonight, so he's well, you know, he's got the gifts to motivate him.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
At least take his mind off of it for a minute or two.
For half a second, but still.
And it is the first night of Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah to everybody.
Too.
Yeah, to you. Oh, my goodness. Time so fast. We are approaching the end of the year. Can't believe that two weeks from now, it's over. The year.
That is so weird.
Amazing.
It went fast. I feel like as I get older, the years just go quicker and quicker. And somebody told me that too, that once you get out of college, the years just fly by. And I definitely feel like that. Like I remember a year when you were little just felt so long. And now it's just like a blink of an eye. It's unbelievable.
It would make sense that our experience of time as we get older would change, given that we start thinking more about the end than the beginning. And I think, you know, certainly up until like age 25, we believe we're invincible.
Yes.
We never think about anything other than today and what we get to do for fun, right? So that's true. Well, we don't want to talk about getting older today. Let's just talk about having fun on our show here.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, you know what? We are here because of you, the listener. So we want your calls and we love your emails. So our phone number is area code 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. And please email us anytime. So, Kelly, you know what? We have a fun email today.
Oh,
that's a follow-up from our show from last week.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. So, last week we talked about what to do with people who treat us like crap.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of people out there who treat us like crap.
Oh, it's so difficult. It's so hard.
And we talked about lots of things about that. And we did get an email from a gentleman, and he was the Mars and Venus email. So I'm going to reread that so it makes sense, because his girlfriend wrote us a follow-up email in response to some of the questions we posed
on the show.
Yeah.
That's great.
So here we go. So last week, emailer wrote, "My girlfriend and I should listen to your show," so we did that together. "We really love each other, but we seem to have more fights than I think we should. One of the things we fight about is friends and family. I like spending time with my guy friends, and she says I spend too much time with them, and every time I come back from seeing them, I'm different. I ask her what she means, and she can't explain it, so I understand. I've heard of the Mars-Venus thing, but I really try to understand what she's saying, but oftentimes it doesn't make any sense to me. Any ideas on how we can fight less?" So she wrote us a follow-up. Do you want to read that, or shall I?
That's great. I'm the Venus in the Mars-Venus relationship you talked about last week. Thanks for reading my guy's email. Here's the problem. When my guy gets together with his friends, it's like he goes back to being in a fraternity. We have a really good time when it's just the two of us and things are terrific between us. However, once he gets together with his friends, he comes home and seems to be a different person, and I don't like it. All the great parts of us seem to be missing. I really love him, but this part of his personality or behavior has made me really nervous. I'm not sure that I'd be willing to marry him without getting this part of him fixed. Both of you must experience some part of this since you seem to be very intelligent women. Thanks. What do you do when your husband start acting a bit sexist? I'm not willing to go back to being the housewife type of person when we women fought so hard for equality. Not sure if your responses would be different based on our ages, but both of us are in our early 30s. I passed the first biological clock period, but I admit I do think about it. Please help. I love him so.
All right. Wow. Well, I'm so excited to be able to to respond.
I know. It's great. And I like that she answered our questions.
Yeah. What I'm always attentive to when people say things like how to get that part of him fixed as though it's broken. And the reality is who he is today is who he is today. Yep. And unless he is willingly coming forth and saying, I have this problem that I want to change, more than likely, you're going to have to do some workarounds, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to take a look at this stuff and giving him very specific tasks or guidance about how you would love for him to make changes might be a good starting point.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's this behavior specifically that causes me to feel anxiety.
Right.
When I observe this, I interpret that to mean, and therefore I have these feelings. Mm-hmm. Because guys tend to be more responsive to actual direction.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally, absolutely agree with that. God, there's so much here. I mean, on your first point, I absolutely agree that if she's nervous about marrying him, but the truth is, like, this is how he's going to be now and potentially forever. And that I think she's got to look at that and say, well, do I really want to be with a person who's like that? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I think she needs to see this is a part of him, and you know, and she can't expect it to change. I guess, I mean, it might change, but I think we get we get into a dangerous category when we expect people to change. And I think a lot of times people marry in hopes that someone will change. So I think that's the first thing, just sort of saying, hey, you know, what if he doesn't change? Can you accept that? Are you okay with that? Do you still want to marry him? You know, in part of that, we all have our faults. We all have our pieces that our partner doesn't like.
Also, if we can sometimes not personalize things so much. So
that's
his
true.
Quote unquote sexist behavior, I'd want to know just how severe that is.
Yeah.
I mean, if he actually denigrates women or speaks very badly about them, then I think that is a significant part of him that you'd want to pay attention to. And it says that she clearly does not want to be with that part of him, and loving somebody is usually not enough. I mean, we can love somebody, but whether for a good relationship that makes is not necessarily the case.
That's very true.
So if he doesn't want to change this, it would be interesting for her to maybe explore with him more what this behavior really means. Is it his last vestige of being a teenage boy that he really enjoys? But if he had other outlets or understood the meaning of that behavior that would be less offensive to her, maybe she could challenge him or help him create other ways to express himself.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. It sounds like this is kind of an escape for him or some sort of, I don't know, like kind of where he can be a little bit immature, but I agree with you. Maybe there's other places where he can do that where she's not insulted or feels personalized because of it. And I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, I mean, maybe he just wants that fun part of himself, like go-karting, you know, do some stuff with the boys sports-wise. Maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be like bars and sort of, you know, that type of club atmosphere. Maybe he can kind of feel that same escape and, you know, immaturity in a different way where it's safe.
When I was in my 20s, I dated this guy on and off for seven years, a total waste of my 20s.
My God.
It was just terrible. I was madly in love with him, but you know, I always blamed his friends for his behavior because he was that guy. He would separate from me, do things with his friends, and come back. I completely understand this woman's experience. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know what? That really was him.
I was just going to say, it's not his friends.
It wasn't his friends. I mean, he chose to behave that way. And in fact, I learned from some people that his behavior was actually much more the instigator of the quote-unquote bad stuff. That he would always come and say, well, you know, they wanted to do that. Uh-huh. But I later learned that, no, he was the one.
He was the
initiator. Yeah. And it was never going to change. And it was probably like 10 or 15 years after that, I still found out that he still wasn't married. He was still hanging out with the guys. I mean, he was a guy's guy, and he really didn't want to have a relationship.
Exactly.
So I'd say take this very seriously, because if this is something that you really are bothered by and he doesn't see it, see it, or doesn't understand it, then that's time probably to move on.
I agree.
But probably seek some counseling, because sometimes these things are easily changed if somebody really understands in the right language, right? Because they're saying that they have a communication problem.
Yes. I was just going to say, I mean, I'd like to get his viewpoint now again. You know, like it's like maybe he can write us back. But I'm curious. I want to know more specifics, like what exactly is going on, what he's doing, and kind of what he thinks about this. But I agree. I mean, maybe counseling so they can each see their own perspective may make a difference. Yeah.
Relationships are challenging.
It's very tough. It's so tough, and it's work, and it's like we're all wired so differently, and we expect our partner to kind of see things exactly how we see them, but we don't. I mean, and that's why it's so important to communicate how you're feeling and what you think the other person's feeling and all of that, so you can kind of come together and come to a better understanding.
Absolutely. Please give us a call today on the show, 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And if you're shy, you can certainly email us, or if you just prefer that.
Sure.
We love your phone calls and we love your emails. Shall we move on to
our
topic
of
the day?
I'm so excited to talk about this. Cheaters and liars.
Cheaters and liars. You know, those may be two of the most powerful words in our vocabulary, because when you say that to somebody,
there's like a visceral feeling.
Oh my goodness. I mean, to be caught, even if you are a cheater or you are lying or you are cheating, when somebody says that word to you, I just see people's expressions. You know, I work with so many couples, and when the husband or the wife accuses the spouse or the significant other or whomever of, you know, you are a cheater, very different than saying you cheated on me, but you are a cheater. Whoa. I mean, I just
there's a lot attached to that.
And, you know, because I think most people with a conscience know that that is just a very, very dangerous and destructive path to go down.
Oh.
Yet so many people are unfaithful. So many people.
I know. Do you know the percentage?
I don't, but I bet it's huge. I bet it's in the 70s.
I was just going to say 60s, 70s would be my guess, which is high. I mean, if you really think about that, that's like, my God. I mean, that's 6 out of 10 people. That's ridiculous, even thinking about that. Unbelievable.
I'm sure if we break that down, though, to different ages, brackets, I mean, I would think that on a routine basis is much higher in the younger group, you know, in teenage through 20s, you know, and that probably more in the realms of dating, where some people may not even consider that cheating, even if they've made a monogamous commitment to somebody. It's like, well, we're not married.
Exactly.
You know, dangles that. Well, the marriage thing is when I will change that behavior.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it still hurts so many relationships when people come back and they talk about the scars of their lives, the things that they've never been able to get over, that they carry forward in fear in every relationship that they're in, is when somebody has cheated on them.
It's so true.
The feeling of betrayal is so profound. It's so impossible to get over.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. It's like that. I think there's just so much that comes with it. It's like that embarrassment. It's like the jealousy. It's the rage. It's like all of those, the sadness, everything all mixed together. Oh, it's just so hard. And I think it's confusing, because it's like you want to be so angry at the person, but yet you're kind of still in love with them. So it's like that, you know, it's just hard. I think there's a lot of emotion when you find out somebody's cheating on you.
Absolutely. Has that ever happened to you?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it, and I remember when we were thinking about this topic last week, I was thinking about it, and there was a guy that I was dating. We were on the verge of ending it. I had moved to LA. He was back east. And so we were kind of on the verge of ending it. And then I found out sort of like within those sort of weeks that we were ending it, he got back together with his ex-girlfriend. So I guess if you count that. But then I was thinking just now, oh my God, and I totally forgot about it, which is probably a good thing. There was a guy in college that I was dating. I was in love with this guy. I don't know why. But
David, close your ears.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I mean, it was like one of those things, like he liked me, I wasn't really into him. And then like, you know, then I liked him and he was kind of doing his own thing. And it was just one of those like chasing kind of relationships. But anyway, we finally kind of were at the same point and I was so happy. And we decided to stay together, but we were doing like long distance over the summer because he was in New York and I was back in Maryland. So we were doing long distance.
How could you trust him?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, he was not one of those like kind of womanizer guys. Like, so it was sort of like, all right, you know, and I had a couple opportunities that summer and I was a really good girl and I was like, no, I'm going to show him that like I'm, you know, committed to him. And then I found out that he lost his virginity that summer to somebody else. It was so
devastating.
Painful. I was like, and I didn't find out for until a couple years later. He told me, and I was like, and even then it still hurts. So it was just like, because I knew something was off. I remember when he had come down the summer, we were going to go back down to college together. We were going to drive down together. And something was off, and I couldn't quite tell what it was, and he wouldn't say. And so obviously that was it. But yeah, like it was just like a pain. I always say, like, if someone hasn't like broken your heart, like you haven't quite lived, like it's just such a like a
piercing
pain. Oh my God, it's awful. So yeah, it was pretty bad.
Aww.
How about you?
Yeah.
She sighs. Uh oh.
More than my share. You know, I have to say, probably when I was, maybe it's a little bit of karma.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager and, you know, had boyfriends here and there, I probably wasn't the most faithful of sorts. You know, I didn't take the relationships all that seriously. And I'm pretty sure that those, you know, 14, 15 year old boys, I probably broke a few hearts, you know, just by, you know,
sure.
Like, oh, well, you can't do that with me. I'll go with him, you
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
And so I was certainly not mature. And
yeah.
Didn't understand that the relevance of that. But then when I got serious about actually having relationships, and I dated this guy when I was 19 years old, and it was a 2-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was a very, very significant.
Sure.
I would say that was the longest relationship that I had at that point in my life. Because I didn't have that high school sweetheart experience. So, you know, I really cared for this guy. He was really cool. He would not have been on site my type. He would not have been somebody that I thought I'd be with. It turned out he was actually very physically abusive and verbally abusive. But I, you know, knowing my background and past, it would make sense that I would hook up with someone like that. But I definitely was attached and committed. And somewhere in about the first 3 to 4 months of the relationship, I sort of had one of those yellow flags that's kind of turned into a red flag. And he would start to, like, I wouldn't always know where he was, or he was getting kind of vague. And I discovered that he was still living with his ex-girlfriend. And he was afraid to tell me that because he thought that I would be upset about that, which I was upset about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're still living with an ex-girlfriend, that's okay with me. If you guys are ex and it's actually commendable if people can break up amicably and stuff. So I went with that for a while. I just went with believing that they were just friends and it just made sense financially to not split up. To realize that he was actually having an affair with me later on. So I, unbeknownst to me, really believed that this was his ex, and apparently it wasn't his ex at all.
It was his current girlfriend.
It was his current girlfriend.
And you were
the
mistress.
Other. Yes.
Unbelievable.
And then when I was starting to have those suspicions, I have so much empathy for how people start to feel crazy and they get obsessed.
Yeah.
Because I was obsessed with every angle of something that didn't quite make sense. It's like, whoa, I don't believe that. And then I would almost become like this investigative reporter constantly.
Yeah, paranoid.
To the point where this is the clincher of the story. We end up at a restaurant and I say, oh, have you ever been here before? And he says, no, I've never been here before. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The hostess comes over and says, how are you doing? I won't say his name to the guy.
No.
It was nice seeing you here last week.
So
like caught red-handed right there, you know. And then I went and I actually left and I asked her who was he with.
Yes.
And she actually told me that it was
the girlfriend.
Yeah, and she thought that I was just a friend. And it was like, well, at that point forward, at least I was able to say, okay, now I am done. But I was crazed. I mean, I literally thought I was losing my mind because he was so convincing in everything that
so
he was
scary.
Saying. And it was, yeah, it was almost like sociopathic.
Yes, I was just going to say.
Somebody who's able to, that's what we're talking about today, cheaters and liars. I mean, if somebody cheats, does that make them a liar across the board? Mm-hmm. Or is it more directed just to, you know, that sense of entitlement because something isn't working in their relationship?
Right, exactly. Oh, that's a really interesting point, too.
I mean, I was starting to look at this in a much more complicated, complex way than I used to. You know, mm-hmm. you just take somebody, two people, young people who are dating, and they're kind of like unhappy with the relationship, but they're sort of padding their,
right.
You know, sort of placing their bets, saying, well, this isn't going to work out, but I kind of
yes.
don't want to be alone. So that guy or that girl over there, they're kind of into me. Mm-hmm. So let me see how that works out. And then it's sort of like the overlap zone, right?
Right.
It's like
exactly.
I'm leaving this relationship while
right.
I'm getting into another
sure.
one. You know, that's a version of cheating.
Yes.
And then there's the people who are in relationships where there really is some sort of abuse or some sort of entanglement that somebody mm-hmm. really does believe, true or not, that they've lost their power.
Right.
And they use an alternate relationship as a way to give them some
secure.
Sorts of comfort or security because they really don't feel like they can actually get out, or at least not
wow.
at the time, get out of the relationship.
Uh-huh.
You know, like somebody with four kids who doesn't work, whose husband makes all the money, whose
yeah.
husband might be very controlling and basically doesn't allow her
them
any freedom. And then that becomes like the avenue of some sort of sanity and relief.
Yes.
Not
I know
saying
what you're
that's
saying.
Okay.
No, but right. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, and then I think there's the people who don't really think something is cheating. I know a guy who was in a relationship. They had a, you know, not a great relationship. It was kind of rocky. And he slept with like a prostitute or like a stripper. I don't know what one of those things and considered that not cheating. It was really interesting. And I'm like, we had like an in-depth discussion about it. I was like, well, how do you not consider that cheating? He's like, well, it was like in another country. I love like the,
oh, yeah.
the area code, you know, like it doesn't count. It was in another country.
Goodness.
And you know, I don't know this woman, like I didn't kiss her. We just had sex, you know, and it was like, it was, I guess he just looked at it as a purely physical act and that was it. There was nothing else attached to it. So he didn't think of it as cheating. So it's kind of interesting. Everybody's interpretation too.
And a lot of people seem to have this idea that what he or she doesn't know won't hurt them.
Yes.
But one of the things that people often don't recognize and realize in a relationship is that once you cross a line where you know that you're breaking an agreement, well, by the way, we are talking about assuming that a couple has decided to be monogamous.
Exclusive,
they've made
yes.
the statement that this is who
right.
they're going to be with. And they, I hope, and a lot of couples actually don't do this, is to define what that actually means.
Right.
There's a long line between flirting with somebody and cheating with somebody, mm-hmm. but some couples would actually perceive that the first sign of flirting is already a slippery slope
right.
toward
cheating. Yeah.
So it's again, where do the couple decide
yeah.
and define those boundaries? But
right.
let's say once they have defined those,
uh-huh.
there's this idea that somehow, well, if I cross that line and she or he doesn't know, then there isn't going to be the pain associated with it. But in reality, once you give that to somebody else, you have now blocked off something in your relationship. So there is this
unspoken.
There's something that you can no longer be 100% intimate because you're always carrying the secret.
Because you're thinking about it.
Because you know that yeah. what you're doing is
exactly.
not acceptable.
Exactly.
Like you know
yeah.
that if you're, I mean, really, if you believe that your partner would be okay with you sleeping with somebody else,
right.
you just go tell them. You say,
yeah.
hey, by the way, I'm not
exactly.
home for dinner tonight. You know,
yeah.
Jane down the street said she's gonna spread them for me tonight.
Yeah.
There
you
I go.
Imagine?
Could you imagine?
No.
Well, now there are couples who have an alternative lifestyle. It's
open
called
relationship.
Today. It used to be called swapping or.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
And that is totally different because people aren't cheating then.
Exactly.
If they say that, right? That's not cheating.
People swear by that. It's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, and I want your take on that, but. You know, I always watch documentaries about that, and they swear that their relationship is really strong. And I guess in some ways I can really see it because you're being open. You're not feeling like, you know, you don't have that freedom. So I'm just curious kind of your take on that lifestyle.
Well, it's also now called polyamory with
okay.
the notion that human beings are not meant to be monogamous.
Uh-huh.
Certainly certainly not across the lifespan.
Yeah.
Which there may be some truth to that. I don't know. The jury's still out on that. I do think there's lots of things that people have impulses toward, but we choose not to. So we choose to say no to many things. Yeah. So even if we're not necessarily designed that way, I don't think we're designed also to eat certain things, but yet we do, or we choose not to eat certain things. So I think we still, as humans, have a lot of a huge capacity for deciding where we're going to self-regulate.
Right.
But in terms of polyamory, I think it's very exciting for people. It helps take the boredom out of the relationship. Where I see it getting into trouble is when one of the couple is more attached to the other.
Oh.
You know, where there's like a greater sense of love or need in one than the other. And the other one finds somebody else, and then that can become the love triangle, right?
Exactly.
It's not so much in theory and in concept, it's wonderful. Right. But if, by the way, I am going out to dinner with John tonight, as she tells her boyfriend, Peter, you know, and I'm going to be home at 10 and I don't show up until 2.
Exactly.
I'm going to guess Peter's going to be a little nervous about that.
Sure. Exactly.
So I don't know. I'd like to see evolutionarily over the next 5, 10, 15 years, all the couples that did embark in that sort of thing,
lifestyle,
what actually happens.
That's a great call.
Because I remember in my parents' generation, and they all were interested in that in the 70s. That was a huge thing I'm not saying my parents were, but I know they had friends who were, and almost all of those couples ended up in divorce.
No,
really? Yeah. So I don't know that it worked. I think it's still, by nature, human beings are very jealous driven.
Yes.
I mean, it's just part of our core. We have a commitment to somebody and we want that. We get that sense of possession.
Of course.
Not saying that that's the healthiest thing, but I think it's just reality.
Yeah, exactly. No. So another question I'm curious your stance on is a cheater always a cheater?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I've worked with some couples. I worked with this one couple, actually, where they'd been married for over 35 years, and she discovered that he had had 9 affairs.
Oh, my God.
Now, mind you, they ended up, both of them, in very intensive individual therapy, very intensive couples therapy, sometimes couples therapy with each of their individual therapists. So I was working with her, the woman, the wife who had discovered all of this, and somebody else was working with her husband, and then sometimes we would co-mingle and do them all together. Of course, they had the resources to be able to do that, thankfully. But over the course of about 2 or 3 years, they had a better relationship than they had ever had before.
Because they uncovered all of that.
All of it. Because what they discovered was, it wasn't so much that they were, that he was a bad guy, but he was very narcissistic. He was very grandiose.
Yes.
And, he loved his wife very much and loved his family. He always had this little itch. He always thought that he was entitled to a little bit more.
Yes.
And again, that idea that if she doesn't know, it won't hurt her. So he did have to face some pretty big demons within him to understand that he couldn't always have it now.
Like
whole idea is, I want it now and therefore I should have it, meant learning impulse control and learning how to defer gratification, learning how to ask for things that he was afraid to ask of his wife to his wife, you know, and for her to be able to grow, and her discovering that she was very shaming in many ways and she was very critical of him in many ways. And so she had a part in creating the vacuum.
Right.
In which that occurred, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was like a vortex. It wasn't that it had started out that way in their relationship, but that's where it ended up. What do you think?
I agree with you, actually. I think that people can change, and I think, I don't think it's so simple to say once a cheater, always a cheater, but because I do think people can change, and I think also it's like, if you gain insight, like you were saying, about kind of, you know, who you are and why you're doing this and what's going on, I think that awareness piece is huge and kind of connects with that acceptance piece. Like, okay, well, wait, you know, I am kind of narcissistic in this way. And then you can kind of stop the behavior, I think. So,
there certainly would be cases where I would say once a cheater, always a cheater. When somebody discovers that their spouse, partner, et cetera, has been unfaithful to them, and the unfaithful partner blames the other one.
Ooh.
Like, I only did this because of you didn't blah, 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 blah,
blah.
That's a personality style. That's a irresponsibility style that is likely to always be fed on the other end with a severe sense of entitlement when one perceives that the situation is unfair or that they're not getting their needs met.
So I have a question about that. Let's say you are in couples therapy with this couple. You come in, she's upset, the husband cheated, and he responds that way. Well, I cheated because, you know, you did this. Like, how do you then help them knowing, okay, this guy's got this personality issue?
The first thing I say is that nobody is responsible for the cheating except for the cheater. But the relationship is a co-contributing...
Yes, exactly.
Field,
right.
A playing field,
yeah,
right? And
that's
so
smart.
Both are contributing to the functionality or dysfunctionality of the relationship. But anytime anybody opts to break a boundary and break an agreement, basically that's what you're doing.
Right.
Now, one thing that people should pay attention to, I believe, is be really careful of the commitments and the agreements that you make at the front end of a relationship. If you don't think that, it's much better to say to somebody, by the way, I love you for today, but I don't have any idea how I'm going to feel tomorrow. And so as long as you're okay with that, we'll just move forward on a daily basis.
Wow, and I'd be scared. I'd be scared. You know what, Liz?
Yes. We're actually allowed to say that.
Yeah,
on
exactly. I was just going to say.
Go for it.
Yeah,
let it out. There you go.
But I'd be terrified if a partner said that to me. Like, yeah, I love you today. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I'd be like, I don't know about this guy. Like, that would be a red flag for me immediately.
And yet it's probably the only truth we can all deliver to somebody when you think about it.
It's true.
We make promises of I'll love you forever. Who can do that?
That's so true.
Right? So in reality, the fragileness or frailty of a relationship is such that people can't really make those long-term commitments. What people can make the commitment toward, though, I believe, is to be able to say, but if I change my mind, I have enough integrity that I will inform you. I will give you informed consent before I act on that.
Yes.
I won't break an agreement without you being aware that that's the direction I'm headed.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what so many people are afraid to do, I think, in relationships, and why they end up cheating is because they believe they want their cake and eat it too, and they don't want to lose something while they're gaining something else. So they kind of want to have it all together, not recognizing the consequences. So back to the guy that you're saying, the guy denies completely that he has a responsibility in that. Well, I would want to see first, is that just his initial reaction? Because a lot of times when people are busted on something, they put up the
defense.
And you got to stop the butts. If the person is able over time with some coaching and understanding of the roots of the action, then the person is generally able to come to some understanding that they have to take responsibility for that part. But if they can't, then, I say cut your ties then and run for the hills.
Exactly.
Because they'll do it again.
Oh, so terrifying. I know a couple, actually, a good friend of mine, who will tell her partner, hey, I met somebody, I'm super attracted. I'm really attracted to this person. Like, outright, like, just says it. Like, yeah, I fantasize about this person, and I think about this person, and that's it. And she lets it go, and he accepts it, and she doesn't act on it.
Wow.
But I, like, completely applaud her honesty. And I feel like, I bet you that releases some of that obsession and that sort of excitement about, you know, this other person, because it's like, it's in the, like, you know, she told her partner, it's not as enticing anymore.
But don't, in our culture, people do that all the time when it comes to, like, people in the media. Stars, actors, right? I mean, people say, well, I would do her in a minute. But they say it because it's safe, because they know it's totally unlikely. Opportunity is not knocking at the door. But I would think in the situation you're talking about, this is a regular human being walking down the street, or maybe somebody that she works with. That I would feel really, really threatened by that.
I would feel threatened, but I'd actually feel better he or she came forward and said to me, hey, here's what I'm thinking, because then I would know, well, clearly, you know, he or she's not going to act on it. She just told me, or he just told me, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because I think it's more scary when you don't know, and it's like that secrecy.
Well, the worst thing on the planet, I think, is when somebody is hyper attracted to somebody and denies it, and you know that it's there.
Yes.
You know, you see it. You can see it everywhere. You can smell it. You know it's there. It's like, no, honey, I'm not. Why don't you just fess up
and
say
it,
right? And then we can get it out of the way and let's deal with it.
I mean,
if it's that much of an attraction that it takes away from your attraction to me, then I would say go.
Right. Exactly.
Go. Be free.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Hey, why don't we put out our number again and and do what we have a couple of emails. Why don't we do those also?
Okay.
Okay, so please call us at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815, or send your emails for our next show. There we go. Oh, here's a good one. I'm going to read this one. Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, I've been in a long-term relationship 15 years. I'm the other woman. It doesn't bother me too much, mostly because my lover, hard to call him boyfriend, and I spend lots of time together and we travel a lot. I'm sure you're wondering about his wife and how he spends so much time with me. She's very busy with her own social world and she spends lots of time with her girlfriends and takes trips with them also. I'm not really tired of being the other woman, but sometimes I think I'd like to have a bit less uncertainty. Is it too weird being happy as the other woman? Thank you so much. Ooh. Wow. Well,
this is very, very interesting.
That is a long time other woman experience. 15 years. 15 years. I remember when I... Another guy I dated a long time ago.
The winners that you've dated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hope they're listening now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll expose the bastards. Anyway, where I had no idea that he was married. I didn't know he was married.
Oh, my God.
This is not the other one that I was talking about living with it, but I was...
For how long?
I'm going to say about 6 months.
You were dating him for 6 months
and didn't know. Well, he lived so far away. He lived in Palmdale and I lived in Tarzana. So it was like an hour away. And so it made sense that oftentimes we would meet each other like halfway. So like him coming to my house or my going to his house probably wasn't going to happen. And then I found, you know, he basically told me, he goes, you know, I'm married. And I'm like,
stop.
Whoa.
Wait, why did he say it like that? You know I'm married. Like, isn't it obvious? Or what would it be?
I didn't know that it was obvious. I mean, he was also much older than I was. I was...
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, why did he say that? Because he had a ring on? Or because, like what was his...
I don't mean, like he was saying, you know, like, you... I should have known. He just wanted me to put... He just wanted to put it out there.
Oh, like hey,
I'm
married.
Just matter of fact, I am married. So in case you're not comfortable with this. And I'm, of course I'm not comfortable with that. Does she know that you're seeing...
And what did he say?
He says, well, she knows that I mess around. Like, well, that's not okay with me. That's not okay with me. But I do know, I know a couple people, actually, who have been the other woman for quite some time. And most of the time, they're in tremendous anguish. So this is actually
interesting.
Very
she's so
interesting.
Happy.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of for 15 years, I mean, I'm wondering if his wife knows that he's cheating. Like, my guess would be yes. I mean, clearly she's spending her own time with friends, and like, I don't know. I don't know if she's in deep denial or not aware of it, but I mean, that doesn't really matter. I guess the point is...
Like a Hillary and Bill Clinton type of thing.
Exactly.
Turn the other cheek and say, okay, you do your thing. Don't embarrass us. Don't put it in front of my face, but it is what it is. Maybe she herself, this other woman, has some commitment issues. Maybe this is a safe place for her because she doesn't ever have to truly invest, and maybe she would have a hard time actually having a whole relationship in front of her with a W, you know, having an entire relationship, so that maybe this works for her. Maybe she's got some selfishness issues, or that she likes her own time. And if you're listening, no offense to you on that one, but I think that being happy as the other woman is either underselling yourself because you're saying basically I'm not entitled to have the whole pie, or you're so comfortable just having your own independence, your own separate life, that it's sort of perfect. But I would say, unless it's the scenario that you're describing, like the wife knows and is okay with it, I don't know how one can go forward knowing that you could potentially be devastating another person's world.
I think there's a bunch of stuff here. I think another thing that you mentioned, like, oh, maybe she, you know, doesn't want to... She can't quite invest fully in the relationship and that kind of thing. But I think it's also sometimes when you're madly in love with somebody, like everything else is kind of on the back burner. Like love kind of conquers all. And so I'm wondering if she's just so in love with this guy, she's willing to just sort of put up with, you know, this kind of pseudo relationship. I was thinking that. And also the other thing I was thinking is if the wife, she's thinking that he's going to leave the wife and that eventually she will be the new wife.
Yeah, but after 15 years, I mean, come
on. People are delusional. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, she could really think that. Well, he's been with me this long. It could happen. You know, if he really didn't love me, he wouldn't be with me that long.
You're right, though. I mean, those dangling carrots, it could be, well, we got to get till the kids are, you know, in college, or,
yes,
or my first one's getting married.
I've heard that
can't
so many times.
This way. And you know, we're not sleeping together anymore. That's
exactly.
A big one.
We're, yeah,
we're not in the
rooms.
Same room.
Yep.
So, you know, if I were in that situation, quite frankly, which I don't think I could ever be
never.
In that situation, I would say, all right, give me your wife's number, and I want to find out from her what is the situation.
That's
if it's totally
bold.
Cool and we're all adults about this, no problem. If it's a relationship of convenience, no problem.
Mm.
But if you're just selling me a crock over and over again, I mean, I would not be okay with that long term.
I like that plan. Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I mean, I think exactly. Clearly, this woman has some issues, and she's obviously not truly happy being the other woman. She wouldn't write us this email. So I think you've got to, you know, really kind of look inside yourself. Are you really happy? Because I don't know. I mean, I think that's tough. I think you've got a lot. You are selling yourself. I agree. And, you know, so you got to, I think you got to look deep and I don't know.
But again, that's us and that's our judgment.
Exactly.
Or that's our comfort zone. And, you know, I guess there are people who probably are okay with that.
Right.
But yes, you're right. I mean, she is writing to us, though maybe it's because other people are telling her that it's weird. But, you know, a lot of times people point the finger at us saying, why do you do that? And we go, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but all right, I'll check it out.
Right.
I'll ask a few other people in case there's something wrong with me.
Right, but, exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. But good email. I mean,
that was
it gives us definitely food for thought.
Exactly.
Huh? I think we have time for another one.
Sure.
You want to go with this one?
Yeah. I've listened to your show the last couple of weeks, and you just hit on my issue, cheating. Okay, how can anyone easily say, well, when I get bored or a little bit drunk, I've gotten together with the guy standing in front of me, even if I would never date the guy? I don't think I'm a slut, just a very frustrated woman. I've never had sex with any of my girlfriend's husbands, but I've flirted with most of them, and I'm sure they'd all have sex with me if I wanted to. In a second, I'd be the most faithful person on the planet if I could only meet the right guy. The trouble is that most of the right guys are already taken, and what's left is leftovers. Great the first time, but marginal when reheated.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a good line.
It's a good line.
Sometimes this makes me depressed, and I know drinking or going to bars isn't the answer, but I can't seem to meet the right guy. Most of the time when I've had a relationship, either I end up hooking up with someone or my boyfriend ends up with hooking up with someone. And my boyfriend ends up hooking up with someone. Sorry. It's not always a deal breaker, but has made it difficult for either me or my boyfriends to stay committed. What do you suggest looking for love?
Well, looking for love in all the wrong places,
That's for sure.
Wow. But clearly she is a very confident gal in the sense that she believes that she could have sex with... usually when people are very flirtatious with other people's guys, or, you know, I think that's actually a sign of a deep insecurity.
Yes.
That the only place you feel safe is to see, like, looking for validation from people who shouldn't be who you're looking for it from, right?
That's really interesting.
It's quite disrespectful, I think,
to do that.
Your friends.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, unless they, that I don't know, but I would say to look at that first and foremost as to why you're looking at validating yourself through that action. If it's really because you can't find the right guys on your own and you're still looking for them through your friends, then I'd ask you to take a look at that.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point, but you're right. It sounds like she's seeking validation that way. Wow. So, I mean, so what is she asking, like, how do I find love if all the guys are taken? I'm confused as to what her question is, too.
Well, first of all, I mean, that's a common line that I've heard many people say. All the good ones are not taken. You know, there's lots and lots of men out there.
Yeah.
Part of it is, though, being willing to expand one's horizons as to what is the right guy. A lot of times people are really looking for lust.
Yes.
And having that intense romantic, passionate experience on the front end that peters out very quickly because there isn't anything of substance.
Right.
So I would say, check what your criteria list is.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is your negotiables and your non-negotiables? Do right. you have a very, very narrow margin as to what's acceptable? And you could be ruling out some pretty cool
yeah.
guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people who are so picky to the point of, well, he's only worth my time if he drives this car and he dresses this way
yeah.
and he likes this restaurant and
yeah.
this movie. And it's like, come on. Those
right.
are not what the deal breakers should be about. It should be more about, do you share common interest? Do
right.
you share? Because long term, it's couples who play together who stay together.
Yeah.
And while opposites can attract, it's similarities that actually keep people more
together.
Together.
Yeah.
It's at least similarity in values. When you think about some of the
yeah.
things, I mean, I see you and David are very different in lots of ways, but
yeah.
your core values
are
almost
very similar.
Spot on.
Yeah,
exactly the same. I bet if I had a value conversation
uh-huh.
with either one of you,
yes.
most of what you would say would be interchangeable.
I agree. And we're quite similar, too, in the activities we like. We
mm-hmm.
both love traveling and movies and things like that. And we do have a little, you know, he loves football. I'm not so into it. I like shopping. He could care less. So it's like but I agree with you. That's a really good point because it's true. I think the couples that really love each other but are so different. Like I have a friend who's super active and her husband is like not into that at all. And I'm like wondering like what do you do on the weekends? You know, like if one wants to go out hiking and the other wants to like lay on the couch, you have to split up a lot. I think that would be tough. I mean, I'm sure it works with a lot of couples, but yeah, I agree. I think it would be tough.
Yeah, so I think our emailer here, looking for love, mm-hmm. needs to be looking for love in the right places and deciding what that really is for her and being more diligent about not distracting herself so much with bars and
right,
one-night
exactly,
stands
the wrong
or
kind of guys.
Whatever
yeah.
they're called these days. They're just called nightly hookups or what is the current?
I think it's still called one-night stand.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm like a grandma. Maybe it's like
maybe it's
other...
a one-night lie-down.
Yes.
I mean, why is it a one-night stand?
Exactly.
Most people aren't standing when they're doing it, but some are.
The horizontal mambo.
There you go. Anyway, so yeah, I think that would be some great advice for her. Well, oh my goodness. So
wow, my God.
Yeah, I think we'll save these couple other emails that we got for another show and talk a little bit more about, you know, what else haven't we covered? I think I wanted to say something, too, about lying because,
yes.
you know, outside of the realm of cheating, because there's lots of ways that people lie about things. And one of the very common denominators of people who tell lies is because of fear of the consequences of telling the
mm-hmm.
truth. And it's really a sign of not having the emotional maturity to
yeah.
be able to handle that the choices that you make will have consequences
mm-hmm.
and being confident enough in yourself to accept what those consequences are. Or if you really don't like the consequences, why don't you change the behavior?
Exactly. Yeah. That's a really, really profound statement. Yeah.
And people that are looking for approval are more prone, in my opinion, to tell lies, maybe not the dramatic lies
mm-hmm.
of, let's say, infidelity or of stealing or something
yeah.
like that, but of, you know, saying, well, did you go... You know, did you get that? Making excuses, I guess, would be a version
yeah.
of lying, right?
Right.
It's like,
exactly.
Oh, no, I didn't get the dry cleaning because I had to
right.
feed the turtle who was drowning
exactly.
on the
yeah
in
like
the backyard
kinda, yeah.
from the rain. It's like no. What I always say to Christopher, it says no. Just say I chose not to do that.
It. Exactly.
Because then I can live with that. So when somebody comes up with a laundry list of excuses that are mostly manufactured,
yes.
Then it's frustrating.
It's so frustrating because it's true. I think if you're accountable for what happened, the other person is much more willing to just be like, all right, you know, I'm mad and I'm over it, or you know, versus the excuses. It's like, like just say it.
Right.
You know?
Or I'm not mad because that's okay. It's not
right.
like I'm holding you hostage to a decision that you made. Things come up, you know.
Right.
Actually, it puts somebody in the position of having to become a hard ass when they might not normally be, because it's the behavior of somebody making excuses
yep.
that inspires the anger in me anyway.
Yep.
Not so much the action of not doing something, unless it's a big thing that we've agreed to that
yeah.
it's like do or die if it doesn't get done.
Right.
But otherwise, it's like, all right, so you got other things got in the way. By when do you think you can do that?
Exactly.
You know, but don't just give me the song and dance with making up all sorts of stuff. That isn't true.
Right. Yeah, this is very, very, very interesting. I think really helpful for our listeners. I really believe that.
Well, we can definitely dive more into this also.
Yeah, exactly.
So our sad news is that Miss Kelly, Coach Kelly, is not going to be with us next week. She will definitely be back the week after.
Sure.
But in her place, I have found somebody who is going to co-host for you. So don't get jealous, Kelly. You are still totally loved.
Aww.
And can't wait to have you back. But you're going to go and enjoy
a cruise.
Yes. Very nice.
Very excited.
I'll be envious of you. But so as a special treat next week, I'm going to have a colleague and good friend of mine come and join us and co-host. Her name is Rosie MacDonald, and she is a hypnotherapist.
So cool.
We're going to be talking about the benefits of hypnosis for anxiety and weight loss, low self-esteem, depression, and much more. And she'll be available to answer calls as well. And any emails that anybody would like to send to us in advance would be awesome about hypnosis. And that email again is, and we're going to have a lively discussion about that and anything else that comes up.
That's very exciting. I kind of want to sneak back just for the show. Like, forget me hosting, just to, you know, so I'll be listening.
Well, you'll be able
overseas
to listen to it.
On the app. We should mention that, actually.
Yeah, please.
There is a talk radio app that you can download from the App Store. It's totally free, and then you can hear it wherever you go. So it's great, and you don't have to have your computer. So I'll be listening overseas.
So thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dr. Deborah.
I'm Coach Kelly.
We will be back next week, but feel free to listen to any of the shows that you may have missed on, I'm so techno idiot.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yes,
thank
exactly.
You. Podcast. I get that word. All right. Have a wonderful week, and until next time.
Thanks so much. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.